So we're going to read now from God's Word, and we will read together from Mark chapter 14, verses 43 up to verses 52. Mark chapter 14, verses 43 up to verse 52. And I will read from the ESV translation. And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd with swords and clubs, and from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. Now that the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "The one I will kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard." And when he came, he went up to him at once and said, "Rabbi," and he kissed him. And they laid hands on him and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to them, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled." And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloth about his body, and they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked. And this is God's word. Now, this time of the year, we are approaching Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Now, every Sunday we commemorate Jesus' resurrection. But on Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday, in a special way, we think about Jesus' suffering, his death, and also his resurrection. You see, Jesus' death on the cross is the fulfillment of the Passover, which was celebrated each year in the Old Testament time. The annual Passover feast is referred to the sacrifice of the lamb when the Israelites, they were in Egypt, and when they were slaves in Egypt. So they sacrificed, or they slaughtered the lamb, and they smeared the blood on the doorposts as a sign to God's angel that they must pass over those houses with the blood on the doorposts, and where God's angel did not destroy all the firstborn. Now, Jesus was crucified during the Passover celebrations in Jerusalem. And he and his disciples, and you will remember that it was also the time when he instituted Holy Communion, but he and his disciples ate the Passover meal the eve before he was crucified. And that showed us that he is the perfect Passover lamb. Like the blood of the lamb that saved the Hebrew people from the destruction in Egypt, his blood, as the ultimate Passover sacrifice, redeems us from sin and God's punishment on sin. And as the perfect and ultimate Passover lamb, Jesus suffered a lot. But now we must remember that Jesus' suffering was not only on the cross, when he died on the cross. His suffering started from his birth. And yes, it reached a high point when he was on the cross. As he was approaching the cross, the intensity of his suffering was increasing. And therefore, it's appropriate to talk about the significance of Christ's suffering as we, this time of the year, approach Good Friday and also Resurrection Sunday. Now, before Jesus' arrest, he's struggling with his father in Gethsemane. We have read that passage. Or just before the passage we have read, we read about it. It is very late, the first day evening, perhaps after midnight, when he's struggling with his father. And it is clear how lonely he is when he brings his sacrifice. Not one of these disciples can stay awake and watch with him. He has to do it alone. Even the people that were so close to him, his disciples that walked with him and they've learned from him, they cannot stay awake with him. They're falling asleep. But even in the night before his crucifixion, Jesus completes his struggle and is obedient to his Father. When he goes from here, he's ready and calm. Jesus can bring the sacrifice on Golgotha because he has completed his struggle in Gethsemane. So if we want to realize how intense Jesus' suffering was and how high the price is that he paid for our sins, we must not only look at the cross, we must not only look at Golgotha, but we must also look at his struggling in Gethsemane. And after Jesus struggled with his father, we read that Judas arrived with a crowd armed with swords and clubs. Now they were the temple guard. Their normal duty was to keep good order at the temple. But the leaders of Israel, they wanted to deal with Jesus as quickly and quietly as possible. And therefore, the temple guard is the right people for this job. Everything must happen as quick as possible. Everything must be over so that the leaders fought before the people could realize what was going on. And therefore, they're using the temple guard. And then so Judas arrived with the temple guard in Gethsemane. In the dark, he identifies Jesus with a kiss. But Jesus, he sees through Judas and he sees through the motives of the temple guard and he exposes their motives. He tells them, no, you didn't come to greet me with the customary kiss, but you actually come to betray me. And then one of Jesus' disciples, he drew a sword and he struck to the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Now, according to the Gospel of John, this disciple was Peter. Now, the behavior of this disciple and the coming of the temple guard, it shows us that they were still thinking of Jesus' kingdom as an earthly kingdom. They thought that they need to take up the sword and they need to fight. But then, probably to their surprise, Jesus didn't give resistance. On his turn, he also didn't do something wrong, like we would do. In Luke chapter 22, we read that he touched the ear of the servant of the high priest and healed him. When Jesus is arrested, he behaves in such a way that the scriptures is fulfilled. Everything that happens is part of a godly plan. Jesus is now doing what his Father has sent him to do. He is obedient to his Father, even when sinful people with evil motives, they lead him away to be crucified. 3 times Jesus announced that he, as the Son of Man, must suffer a lot, that he must be killed by the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders, and that he will resurrect from the dead on the 3rd day. And now, this is starting to happen. So, dear brothers and sisters, can you see how the intensity of Jesus' suffering started to increase already there in Gethsemane. He was betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas, that was one of the 12. And then he was arrested like a criminal. Earlier, his disciples couldn't stay awake and watch with him. And now, all his followers and disciples are running away. And in this way, Jesus is forsaken by people on the way to the cross, where he will be forsaken by his Father. And when Jesus is then forsaken by people and by his Father, he pays the price for our sins. So in Gethsemane, we can see that God is already starting to execute his judgment on his own Son. And no man can stand this. Now, brothers and sisters, we must be honest when we talk about these things, that if we would be in Gethsemane, we also would have run away. We must not think by ourselves, no, we would have stayed by Jesus. We wouldn't be like these disciples, and we wouldn't run away. No, only Jesus Christ, who is God Himself, can carry God's judgment on sin. He is arrested like a criminal, whilst we were supposed to be arrested like criminals. It is us who were disobedient and deserve to be punished. But Jesus is carrying that punishment in our place, also through His suffering. And then this suffering and humiliation resulted in Christ's glorification. Jesus is not only the Son of Man that had to die and suffer, but He is also the Son of Man who was glorified. After the cross, He conquered death with His resurrection. He ascended into heaven and He sat at the right hand of the Father. And that He's sitting at the right hand of the Father means that He's ruling over everything. God is ruling through His eternal Son over everything. Because Jesus' kingdom is not limited to this earth. He's king over everything. His kingdom includes everything. In this way, He is not only our priest, our high priest, who offered Himself, but He is also our eternal King who is ruling over everything. And He comes again with power and majesty. And because of this work of Christ, we can be children of God. We, who were supposed to be arrested like criminals and ran away from God's judgment, because no man could stand us, we can crawl back on our knees to God. The price on our sins is paid, and we can be followers of Jesus Christ now. And that brings us to the second part of our message this morning, that God calls us now to be His followers. Our passage is from the Gospel of Mark. Now, according to an authoritative church tradition, this gospel was written by John Mark. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, we read that he was the son of Mary, in whose house a part of the congregation of Jerusalem gathered on a regular basis. So, yes, John Mark. His mother is Mary. In her house, the early church also gathered. And probably it was the same house in which Jesus and his disciples celebrated the last Passover before they left for Gethsemane. In verses 51 and 52, we read about a young man who was also in Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested. He was only wearing a linen garment, and when the temple guard seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garment behind. Who is this man who fled naked? And it is interesting to note that only the Gospel of Mark records this incident of this man who fled naked. Now, many scholars agree that this young man is John Mark, the writer of this gospel. After the Passover, when Jesus and his disciples left the upper room of his mother's house, he probably just grabbed this linen cloth under which he was sleeping, and he followed Jesus and his disciples on a safe distance. And with the arrest of Jesus, he was standing close enough so that when they could seize him, they got hold of his linen cloth, but he escaped naked. And like the disciples, he also ran away. This young man, John Mark, that night when Jesus was betrayed and arrested, he ran away, like the other disciples. But that was not the only instance when John Mark ran away. During Paul's first missionary journey, he also once ran away. In Acts chapter 13, we read that he left Paul and Barnabas and returned to Jerusalem. And then in Acts 15, we read that Barnabas wanted to take John Mark on the second missionary journey. But then Paul refused. Paul said, no, no, we cannot take this man because he deserted us. He ran away. How can we take this man? He's just going to bring us shame again. And Paul and Barnabas, they had such a disagreement that they parted company. So in the end, Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas with him on the second missionary journey. And when we have this background, we can understand the significance of Mark's recording of this event in Gethsemane when he ran away. John Mark wrote his gospel to Christians in Rome. Probably it was around 65 AD, when these Christians were persecuted severely. They started a fire in Rome, and Caesar Nero blamed the Christians for the fire, and he started a persecution of the Christians. Now, during this persecution, John Mark writes the Gospel of Mark to the Christians in Rome. And he wants to encourage them. In his Gospel, he shows that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. He is the Messiah that suffered a lot so that we can be saved from our sins. But when we confess Jesus as our Savior, who suffered for us, we can expect also to endure suffering. And when we endure suffering, like the Christians in Rome did, we must continue to be faithful to Jesus. We must not be like somebody who is running away. To follow Jesus, especially in suffering, is therefore an important theme in the Gospel of Mark. For example, in Mark 8 verse 29, we read that Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ. But to confess Jesus is not something neutral. It's not just something that you say. It isn't just words. Confession means that we must be willing to endure suffering. And therefore, after Peter's confession, Jesus said, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Mark tells the believers in Rome and also to us, don't run away when you are a follower of Christ. Don't follow the example of that young man in Gethsemane when Jesus was arrested. Be faithful, even if you are persecuted for your faith. Of course, we cannot bear the same suffering as Jesus did, and we don't have to, because he did it in our place. But we must be willing in suffering to remain faithful and to be obedient. Those who believe the good news of Jesus Christ must deny themselves and follow him. But that must not frighten us. Every believer is going to share in Jesus' glory, and therefore he or she must also be willing to suffer for his sake and for the sake of his kingdom. When Jesus was speaking to his disciples on the Mount of the Olives, just in the previous chapter, Mark 13, he repeated to them, "Be on guard, be alert, be watchful." And we must be that until his second coming. So as believers, we must not think that we will always just have prosperity and everything is just going to go well all the time. Because Jesus suffered, we also have the possibility of suffering. And when it happens, we must see it as a privilege and be faithful in those sufferings. When Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane, the disciples did not yet fully understand why he had to suffer and to die. We can see it in their behavior. Peter even wanted to fight. He drew out his sword and he wanted to chase them away. But we who live after Jesus' resurrection and who live after Pentecost, we know why Jesus had to suffer. And we know that he conquered Satan and death and that he is preparing places in heaven. In Christ, we are more than conquerors. But this privilege places a big responsibility on us. In obedience, we must live and preach the gospel. In the good times, but also in the difficult times. In good times, we must not be witnesses that run away. In difficult times, we must not be witnesses that run away. And that applies also to your ministry. We don't know what is laying before us, what is laying before you in the church where you are serving. We don't know what to expect. But what we do can say is God is with us in times when it's going very well, but also in the difficult times. And we will not run away whatever happens. Therefore, as a closure, dear brothers and sisters, if we look at Gethsemane, we see what Jesus did for us. And we see that he endured the suffering that we couldn't endure. Therefore, everyone ran away when he was arrested. And the suffering reached its high point on the cross when he became our perfect Savior. And because of this saving act, we can and must be his followers. Followers that do not run away in suffering, And we can do it because he promised to us just before his ascension that he's with us till the end of the age. Amen. Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, we praise you as the omnipresent God, the Almighty God, the God of all knowledge. And we humble ourselves before you. We also confess our sins. We know that we have so many shortcomings. We confess that in many ways we just live for our own pleasure, our own desires. And we pray, Lord, that you'll forgive us this and give us, through your Holy Spirit, us the understanding that we must sacrifice ourselves to be in your service. We pray for each of the students here at Makanyu as you prepare them for various ministries, that they will be equipped to serve you in good times, but also in the difficult times. And that they will be faithful servants who do not run away when persecution comes or difficulties come. We also pray for the staff of Makanyu, including the teachers. Give them wisdom as they serve you here together. And they will also persevere in difficult times. We pray for your church in different parts of the world, also the persecuted church. We know that many believers in eastern countries, but also northern Africa, are suffering because of their faith. We pray for them and we remember them this morning. Our dear brothers and sisters, be with them, O Lord, and give them strength in their situation, and let their lives be a witness of your grace and your mercy. We pray, Lord, for our country, for those in authority. We also pray for our government. Let them fulfill their calling, as you call them, to keep good order in this country, to have righteousness prevail. Give them wisdom. And where there is selfish hearts, we pray, Lord, that you will also change that, that they will serve according to your will. Be with us in this day as we continue with our classes and the teaching. And we pray, Lord, that your name will be glorified in everything. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen.